Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Update your home with Palmero vinyl plank flooring. It provides a genuine weathered wood look that complements any decor and clicks together for easy installation. It's waterproof, scratch and dent resistant, making it perfect for active households. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
Hey, everybody, it's Tim Miller for The Bulwark. I've got a duo for you, just the two of us, me and managing editor Sam Stein. We had a delicious trio planned for you where we're giving you an update on what's happening with masturbating Manny on the mall and many of the other characters from Trio Videos past, but Will Sommer had some technical difficulties. So that's just a teaser, all right? Press the little alarm bell, subscribe the feed, and me and Sam and Will will be back. You know, sometime in the next 24 hours or so. In the meantime, our vice president, the charisma vampire, J.D. Vance, was in Wisconsin as part of his new role as Fraud Czar. He's Fraud Czar and Charisma Vampire. And he's discussing the fraud that they're uncovering. It's interesting they used to fly all the way to Wisconsin since there's so much fraud happening, like, in his office. But okay. He gave a speech there, and I guess we're going to go to a couple of the clips, but you know, thoughts about the vice president's performance today?
Two thoughts. One is it wasn't all that long ago that he was in Islamabad or Vienna or whatever, like trying to make this deal and talking about how all those cool Iranians that he met along the way. And like, this thing's imploding right now. And JD's not, you know, they're not like, hey, JD, go fix it. It's just like, you know.
You're in Wisconsin. He's in Wisconsin.
He's got to go to, yeah. Why don't you go to Wisconsin this week? Take this one off.
Yeah, the deal is spiraling out of control. The war is accelerating. We're bombing literally more than ever. We might have made Karg Island, Trump said today. And JD was the point man on the deal. And like, he's in Wisconsin. So that's a very
literally, as he's speaking, SETCOM is tweeting out, we're launching more strikes. I mean, I'm laughing, but I want to cry inside because that MOU lasted a couple days and that's it. So great job.
On this point, and one of the moments in the speech, like JD, like, weirdly kind of like looks down at his phone and is like, hey, I might get a text. And it's kind of, it's pretty melancholy. It's kind of sad. It's like, oh man, maybe it's the president calling to text me, or, you know, or calling or texting to ask me about the deal that I struck with Iran. And maybe he wants my input on the strikes. And they looked at him, it's like, nope, not the president.
Not the president. Go on, local reporter, ask your question. That is a good point. It does seem a diminishment of sorts. But then the other thing is what you talked about is just like this just sort of devoid of charisma element to him, where he kind of winds up these stories and, you know, he's kind of workshopped them a little bit, and or maybe he hasn't wound them up and that's the problem. And you're kind of waiting for the real kicker or the laugh line. And then you get more, at best you get a chuckle out of it. And then, and there's some point that he's making to it, but the point doesn't really make sense. And you're like, I don't get the metaphor. And then he's like, okay, moving on. And you're like, man, someone who lacks that type of je ne sais quoi, that charisma, how did he get so far in politics?
Sucking up to people is the answer to that. Let's play one of those stories. He tells a cookie story.
Yeah, a cookie story. It's weird.
It's not ookie cookie, thank goodness. Let's watch.
So that is, you know what, it kind of reminds me of like a couple weeks ago, I get home to the Naval Observatory, the nicest public housing anywhere in the United States of America, and my six-year-old greets me, and I love my little boy, but he's a little mischievous, and he gives me a big hug, he says, Daddy, I'm glad you're home, I didn't steal any of the cookies. I said, huh, that's interesting that you volunteered that when I wasn't even talking about that. Well, of course, he stole the cookies. So when I hear a guy protesting out of nowhere, I did not do any election fraud, I did not do any election fraud, it makes me wonder, why is that guy protesting so aggressively? It's a little odd.
What
does cookies have to do with anything?
What?
Guilty conscious, I guess.
What is the election? It's Donald Trump is the one that, it's them that are always talking about election fraud.
Right.
For the story to make sense, they would be the boy that had stolen the cookies. That was Trump. He did a whole stop the steal thing.
No, he's saying I didn't do election fraud. No, he's saying I didn't do election fraud. Therefore, I don't know. The whole thing, I don't know. It's just, also he looks down at his notes. It's like, tell the cookie story is probably written there somewhere. I don't know. Why is he always putting down his
kid? Go home to the Naval Observatory. The observatory.
The public housing. Get the public housing line in there. Yeah.
I mean, Dick Cheney didn't talk like that. I don't know. The whole thing is just, it's trying hard. So with JD, there's always kind of the two sides of him. There's just like the charismaless, you know, kid that has that in high school was kind of wearing the eyeliner and wasn't very cool. And, you know, you've seen the pictures of him from high school. He was just, you know, the outsider. There's that boy, like his inner child that wants to be loved and is trying to kind of be Josh with the cool kids. Like there's that side of JD. That's kind of sad. Then there's the dark, mean side of JD. And we get to see a little bit of that as well during the speech. Let's watch.
You need it. And I want to point to this woman. Now, I want to be clear that the woman in the back did nothing wrong. But look at this woman in the front with the smug look and the Louis Vuitton bag. A woman who quite literally stole from young mothers who needed prenatal care, and the state of Wisconsin, ladies and gentlemen, had to scale down that program because of insufficient funds.
So a couple of things there. It's hard to see. Maybe you can pull it up because of the glare and not really good stage work, but you can see the picture. It's kind of a black woman who's apparently holding a Louis Vuitton bag. I'm not as familiar with bags as J.D. Vance's handbags. But and then there's another black woman behind her. And it's just like, now this other black woman I just happened to put up here, she did nothing wrong. I want to make that clear. And it's like, well, why didn't you crop it? I mean, we have advanced photo editing tools now that we can use right here on our cellular devices. And so it's pretty strange that you included that up there. And then he's like, this other woman with her smug look. And it's just like, I don't know, this woman might have done something bad with the fraud. And people that defraud the public should face consequences for that, just like Donald Trump and his family and the Witkoff family and the others that are doing that should also face consequences. But like, just the manner in which he does it is just so nasty.
Oh yeah, it's like classically nasty, bullyish behavior. I mean, and the other thing is like so unoriginal, right? Like everyone who's been through these types of political arguments can tell right away what this is. This is the attempt to revive welfare queens like Reagan did. And there's plenty of literature on welfare queens and the attack he made. And I would encourage people, sort of a seminal story by Josh Levin in Slate, who actually found the actual welfare queen, a woman named Linda Jackson, who was from Chicago. She was like, built welfare and was riding around on a convertible. And it was a real story. Like she did commit welfare fraud in addition to a lot of other fraudulent behavior back in the 70s. And Reagan capitalized on this and did so quite effectively. But that's the playbook, right? Like that's the playbook. It's find a black woman who has something luxurious and who committed an act and then paint a broad brush. And in this case, the argument he's implicitly and explicitly making is black people are on welfare who are committing fraud and using it to buy Louis Vuitton bags. And you know that it's both unoriginal and it's misleading because there's fraud. There's going to be fraud in government programs. But like, you know, in Minnesota, they were going after these agencies that were already being targeted by prosecutors. And then the prosecutor there left because of the ICE crackdown. And then they're pardoning all these fraudsters. Like they are literally pardoning all these people who are committing fraud in Medicare and so on and so forth. So this thing kind of enrages me because it is so, you know, nasty and honestly a little bit racist and also just frankly unoriginal.
Yeah. Also, JD calling anybody else smug. It's like, come on. You know, it's like me calling somebody a smart ass. Are you calling somebody interrupts too much? You know, It's like, okay, JD, like you are like the picture of you is next to Smug in the encyclopedia. We don't have encyclopedias anymore. Claude, when you ask Claude, show me the photo of a Smug man, the photo looks mysteriously like JD Vance.
Am I allowed to talk now? I don't want to interrupt while you say that. I interrupt too much. I just want to be clear.
Want.
You call me a smartass all the time. You do.
You are a smartass.
Okay, there you go. Moving on.
Okay, maybe I was just doing one of the JD Vance cookie stories right there, you know, where I was like, I had a concept, was spitballing on it. Point being, JD shouldn't be calling everybody Smug because he's a smug okay. Son of a bitch.
Fair enough. And I am going to continue to interrupt. I don't give a shit.
Great. If people love think that. Much. And the okay. people love it. So no, they I don't. Hear.
This segment is sponsored by the New York Times. Can't believe I'm saying it. Love the New York Times. Glad they're a sponsor. Now look, as the entire country was celebrating the 4th of July this past weekend, the White House was bashing the Smithsonian National Museum of American History, accusing the institution of what it called, quote, extreme political activism. And we found that out from reporting by the New York Times. The Times broke down what was in the White House's report and explained the Trump administration's repeated attacks on the Smithsonian Institution. The reporting you depend on, that this show depends on, it started long before that headline. And it's not just the Times that's doing that reporting. The Journal, ProPublica, your local newspapers, anywhere reporters are still working on a beat, they are producing essential reporting that informs podcasts just like this. Now, after that report on the Smithsonian, the Times reporter, Derek Bryson Taylor, went further, giving readers a detailed timeline of how this new report by the White House was not in a vacuum, but part of a years-long campaign against the Smithsonian. That stuff, that reporting, it shows how it could take weeks, months, even years to put a story together. It also shows that reporting is essential, especially for podcasts like this. So wherever you seek it out, nationally, locally, support fact-based reporting.
Let's move on to the other big story of the afternoon in politics circles. Who might replace Graham Plattner?
Are you okay? Are you in an emotionally level place to do this story? Do you need me to take it over?
It's just one disappointment after another following politics the last few years, Sam. So to be honest, I've grown some pretty thick rhinoceros skin dealing with setbacks like the one I'm about to share. But Graham Plattner is, at the time of this taping, maybe this will change by the time we publish it, still huddled in his home with advisors trying to decide what to do. Everyone is at told him to resign. Maybe he thinks he can gut it out. I think in Maine, I don't see how this works in the Democratic side and the Republican side. Many people have gutted out controversies like this, but the Democratic electorate has different standards. And also in Maine, they have ranked choice voting. So the Democrats could actually run a write-in third alternative that could conceivably win, I would think, in a ranked choice voting, depending on how things shake out. So anyway, things aren't great for him, but he's still deciding what to do. TikTok. In the meantime, a little parlor game has kind of sprouted up. Who might the Democrats replace him with? Who else is out there? A name that I have joked about several times on the YouTube page that for some reason kept being mentioned was Patrick Dempsey McDreamy, who looks better than ever right now. Just let's put up this picture of him from today's Portland Press Herald announcing that he's not going to run. I literally, when you sent this to me, I thought it was a troll. Like, I thought you'd had somebody in the office like mock up an AI thing, but it's real.
Can we step back a second? Because yeah. Tim's, just so people know, we're in Slack in this channel, and Tim's sort of like, Tim's been salivating over these. I don't know where this polling data has been coming from that shows that he's got great favorabilities. And also, Tim's trying to manifest this into existence. And Tim finds some random ass Twitter account. I honestly don't know where this. Your algorithm has got to be so fucked right now. Someone named @NCDemocrat_. Who is this person? I don't know. But Tim finds this tweet with a siren emoji saying, "New Patrick Dempsey weighing options on Senate race over the next 2 days, considering jumping in." It links to a Spotify. I don't know how. It's Hex on Taps. Okay. I don't know how Tim fucking found this shit. But like within 2 hours, Dempsey has put out a op-ed in the Portland Press Herald saying why I'm not running for the U.S. Senate. And I too thought it was like fake. I was like, is this from like 6 years ago or something? Because the picture looks great. He looks great.
Look at how good he looks.
He's fucking really, you know, like a guy who could win a main Senate race.
Rugged and handsome. Dempsey 2028. So he starts writing. Honestly, reading about this, I've been kind of doing it as a little troll talking about it. I mean, I also obviously kind of handsome. But yeah, people are really asking him. I should mention this just before I joke a little bit, that he has started the Dempsey Center. I made a joke, which I thought was pretty clever. Okay, I was pretty happy with this joke, and it was, you know how the libs are always talking about people's lived experience? And yeah. I made a joke about how Patrick Dempsey could run for Senate with a plan to fix healthcare based on his acted experience.
That's a really bad joke.
I pickled myself with that dad joke.
You're closer to J.D. Vance than you possibly are.
And then I got some emails from people that are like, no, it's actually his lived experience because he has the Dempsey Center, which helps people with cancer in the community, which is great. And so maybe that's part of the reason why people are taking this seriously. He wrote this. Here's the op-ed. Over the past several days, I've been asked a question more than once, including on this here Bulwark YouTube channel. Maybe he's a viewer. What's up, McDreamy? Come on. You're welcome anytime. Would you ever run for the United States Senate? It's flattering and I don't take it lightly. I love my home state of Maine. I care deeply about the people who live there. And like so many Americans, I'm concerned about the direction our country is heading. I gave it real thought. And then he goes on, I kept coming back to one question. Do I truly want to serve in Congress? I realize the answer is no. Not because public service isn't honorable. It absolutely is, but because I believe I could contribute more effectively. I think most notably, there was a pretty extensive section on how he wants integrity in his candidates. And I think that is a not subtle reference to Graham. So I'm disappointed, man. I mean, I was already plotting out the path to Dempsey as the outsider candidate of my dreams for 2028. I think he would have wiped the floor with Susan Collins. I do get excitable in these types of things. So, you know, maybe Patrick knows himself better than I know.
Well, just to get people, because we've already talked about your obsession about it, but it actually is deeper than I even, you know, revealed, because I'm now looking back at another Slack channel that you, me, and Jonathan Cohn are in, where you're assigning Jonathan Cohn stories about ACA enrollment, but then suddenly at the end you're like, you know what? You need to write about Patrick Dempsey anyway.
I am. I'm assigning Jonathan Cohn, whose newsletter, The Breakdown, is excellent. You can go to thebork.com. I was assigning him a Patrick Dempsey item, which unfortunately won't get written. So I'm upset about it. The other news item this afternoon, which is, I think, even more weird, is a state rep named Valley Geiger. Let's pull up her photo. Maybe a nice woman here, but she's a 70-ish year old woman in the state legislature, who I guess was an early Graham Plattner endorser. She's saying that Graham is encouraging her to be the Senate nominee.
Yeah, well, the Plattner campaign's already kind of, what remains of it, is putting a bit of cold water on that one, saying he just called her to say thanks for your support. And I think she maybe interpreted it as saying calling her offering his support. But no, I don't think that's happening.
Okay. The whole thing is strange. I talked about this to Alex Wagner for a while today on the pod, but it's like, I don't really understand why they think. I mean, look, I think that there are some people who are excited about Graham Plattner because of his ideology, and that's great. And people, you know, should be excited about candidates based on their views. Obviously, there was another group of people that were excited about Graham Plattner because he was charismatic and he was younger and they saw him as a fighter and something different and an outsider. And so I think that there's a lot of people who are kind of in the left wing of the party who are like, no, we should replace Graham with somebody who has his views. But then they keep suggesting like the state Senate president and like the 70-year-old state rep. And it's like, okay, well, that's fine. That was one part of Graham's appeal, but it was one part of his appeal.
Well, there's like, one pretty clear way to just settle this. Well, I mean, it's not going to be satisfactory to everyone, but like hold a convention.
Vote. Like, that's interesting. Yeah. Let people vote. And then if Graham Plattner wants to endorse somebody, he's welcome to do that.
Yeah, he can do it. Go ahead. Yeah, Graham can say, that's my guy.
Would people want his support? Yeah, that's a question.
I threw this in Slack while we're recording, but do you want to do the James Tallarico thing from the, have you seen this one from the National Republican Congressional Committee?
It's the second time that Sam's been slacking me mid-podcast recently. He is a multitasker. I'm also a multitasker.
You think I'm not paying attention and giving it my all on these recordings?
I do. I think that sometimes you're not really marinating in my wisdom and like really hearing all of my bon mots, but okay, here we go. There is, we have two other stories then, cause I had one I wanted to end with as well. The NRCC.
Why is the NRCC doing this? That's the other thing.
I don't know. It's coming from Richard Hudson. Nope, he's NRCC.
Yeah, that's it.
Because he's trying to tie James Tallarico to Johnny Garcia, who we've had on this very YouTube page, Johnny Garcia. That's a good candidate to look at and support, who is trying to pick up a seat in Texas, try to undermine their efforts to gerrymander the state. The press release says this, Texas Dem James Tallarico hired brains behind Cox, not Glock's protest. Trying to argue that the James Tallarico is trying to replace guns with dildos. Great. I mean, who is against that? Is anybody against that? People are upset about more dildos and fewer guns. I mean, they're not saying that James Tallarico is trying to like eliminate your guns or take your guns. It's just kind of like a guns for dildos trade. And if you want to be the type of person who like is, I don't know, in middle age, has some children in the home, no longer wants to have a dangerous weapon around, and you're trying to spice up your sex life,
it's a win-win. Not since cash for clunkers have we had a government exchange like this. This is great. Yeah.
Guns for dildos. I think it's great. I guess they're thinking that like the right wingers in Texas will be offended by this. I think they'd be surprised at how much dildo use there is. Surprised how many
take him up on the offer. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably an attempt to try to Beto Tallarico. They really went hard at Beto over wanting to take people's guns. Tallarico has been more prudent on that question. And
but don't you think at some point
it's kind of an abundance agenda thing? Cox and Glock.
Why can't you have both? Why don't you think? Sorry, I'm dying. Don't you think that at some point these attacks get so ridiculous? It's like you read this and you're like, wait a second, come on, this guy wants to give us all a bunch of dildos for our guns. Like, that doesn't make sense. It doesn't compute. Like, just stick with he's trying to take away your guns. That's probably cleaner. This whole thing's so stupid.
When I close with this, Riley Gaines mentioned this several times. She finished in fifth place in the swim meet. I had a reader send me an email, asked me to stop making fun of Riley Gaines for finishing in fifth place in the swim meet. And because it is a big accomplishment to be fifth in a national college swim meet. I don't want to take that away from her. What I'm mocking Riley Gaines about is that her whole life now following that swim meet has been dedicated to how unfair it was that she finished fifth because there was a trans swimmer that was competing, but they tied. So even if you got the trans swimmer out of the race, she would have still been fifth. And it's like, that is the part that's so stupid and mockable about Riley Gaines' advocacy. It's like the whole thing is based on unfairness towards women. I mean, maybe if she was the 10th place finisher or the 11th and that, then she could have said, well, I could have made the top 10 if it wasn't. Anyway, fifth and fifth. She was on Stephen Miller's wife's podcast.
Katie Miller. Kind of
Katie Miller. It's the fascist mommy hour. They were discussing conspiracy theories. Let's just watch.
What's a conspiracy theory that you believe in? Okay, I'm a pretty horrible conspiracy theorist, to be honest with you. I would say a conspiracy theory I believe in, or what about the ones that I don't? How about that? Like Helen Keller, if I'm being honest with you, did she really exist? Like, did she really exist? I can't wrap my mind around it. Like, you're telling me there's a woman who can't see, she can't hear, but she wrote a book? I don't know. Like, I'm the worst conspiracy theorist ever. Like, I'm, like, way too naive to believe that actually happened. That's going to be the part that's clipped, by the way. It's going to be like, Riley is so stupid and doesn't actually think Helen Keller is real. Okay, fine, maybe, but I don't know. I think it doesn't sit right with me.
No, I don't disagree with you, but I also think there's a lot of conspiracy theories out there and every single one's proven true. So like,
I don't disagree. Every conspiracy theory is proven true. I'm stuck on this one. And there's a lot to unpack there. But I'm stuck on this where she says, okay, to be honest with you, I would say a conspiracy theory I believe in. Or what about the one that I don't? How about that? Like Helen Keller. If I'm being honest with you, did she really exist? It's hard to diagram that paragraph, but it seems to me like she believes Helen Keller existing is the conspiracy theory, and she does not believe in that conspiracy theory, which is strange.
I want to work through that again. That's a good point. Or what about the ones that I don't? So what about the conspiracy theories I don't believe in?
How about that?
So she doesn't believe in a conspiracy theory, and that conspiracy theory is that
Helen Keller existed. What?
So she does believe Helen Keller existed.
No, she's saying that the conspiracy theory is that Helen Keller existed. That's a conspiracy theory, and she doesn't believe in it.
So she believes Helen Keller never existed.
Correct.
Wait, the conspiracy theory is Helen Keller existed.
According to Riley.
Well, I'll give Riley credit on one thing. She's right that shit was going to get clipped because it's so dumb. Does she not? I'm having trouble here. She thinks Helen Keller didn't exist, or she thinks Helen Keller didn't write the book?
Didn't exist, I think. Yeah.
But then she gets very specific. How could she write a book? She says, I like, you're telling me there's a woman who can't see, she can hear, but she wrote a book?
Yeah.
Wait, so does she not believe that the book was written, or that she just doesn't believe Helen Keller ever existed?
Yeah, I'd recommend to her that she visit Tuscumbia, Alabama. We can visit Helen Keller's birthplace. It's a nice stop. Not a lot of great stops in Alabama, but Tuscumbia.
Does she know there's
one.
Photos of Helen Keller?
No. No. She doesn't know anything. Let's just be honest. The chlorine.
I'm on Getty Images right now. Again, there's photos of Helen Keller. It's there. You can look them up. There's at least 1,227 photos on the Getty Images library of Helen Keller.
Yeah, her whole life. Young, old.
Oh, yeah, it's there. Cute. It's there. The house that she was in, yeah.
Graduation.
I mean, this is a great story.
Yeah, it's a good trip. I mean, I was just imputing Alabama. The Alabamans get mad at me. I have to, you know, do that as a New Orleanian. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to visit Alabama, that's a good part of the state to go to. Muscle Shoals. You can go see where a lot of great music was recorded. You can go to Tuscumbia. There's cute little shopping. And you can see Helen Keller's home. I would recommend that to Riley or anyone who's looking for a little summer road trip. Gas prices are going up again, so it's going to cost you a little bit more to go to Tuscumbia, but it'll be cheaper in Tuscumbia than it is other places in the country, probably. So that's something to do. All right, Sam, anything else? Anything else out there catching your eye? I know you're reading Slack and editing and reading Twitter while posting this video. So anything else?
We got some good stories coming tomorrow, I gotta be honest. Yeah.
At the Bulwark.com.
Will Summers he's been working. Speaking of multitasking, his internet is shit, which is why we couldn't record the trio, but he has got enough connectivity to write this great story on the guy who's maybe going to bankrupt Candace Owens inadvertently. So that's coming tomorrow.
Prayers up. Subscribe to TheBulwark.com to watch that story. That's Sam Stanley, and I'm Tim Miller. We'll see you guys soon. Bye.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21+. Terms and conditions apply.